Take your Bibles this morning, please. Turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. I always encourage anyone to, as they attend the services, you need to have three things with you. You need a King James Version Bible, bring it with you. Bring a pen so you can make notes in your Bible and outlines. And bring an offering. Then you can worship God. Be in right standing with Him, because that's why we're here. We're to worship God. Don't want to stray from the Word of God. Don't want to stray into the philosophy of this world. Knowing that we all will give an account one day to God. Revelation chapter 20. 22 chapters in our Holy Bible. And just before the new heavens and earth come in chapter 21, there's a judgment that happens. It's in Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 10. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That's a good ending to the devil. That's a good ending to Satan. In verse 11 it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Most have at some time in their life been brought to realization that there would be a final judgment. But most, even Christians that go to church all the time, you don't find the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God to cover every area that you need to be well aware of, because that'll change your life once you know it. So God told me to bring this to your attention again. Over and over, we need to know the truth. Isn't it amazing that we can hear preaching on a subject and forget it so quickly? Doesn't matter what the subject is. My friend, we need to be reminded this morning of the day of judgment. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless in the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word. For no matter how much I preach, it won't do any good unless the folks hear and apply that to their own lives, and Holy Spirit, have your free will done within our hearts and lives. Help us to be not proud, but humble before you. Lord, we would repent. We would change our mind. Lord, that we would come closer to you this morning and realize the terrible end here before the new heavens and new earth. Guide in the preaching, empower, do your miracle work in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. You might want to take out your pen, be ready to write down some things about this. Folks are confused about judgments in the Bible. There isn't just one judgment. Matter of fact, there's seven different judgments. Turn to, keep your place here, put your bulletin here or whatever you want, and turn back to John 3. John chapter 3. I'm a Bible preacher, so I prove everything by the Bible. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe God. He's the one you're going to stand before. John chapter 3 and in verse 19. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." It was written over 2,000 years ago. You can see every day the evil deeds being done all around you. It hasn't got better, it's gotten worse. About evil deeds, one day there will be a judgment for those evil deeds because they love to be in darkness rather than light. You see that our church is not crowded this morning because most are in darkness. They don't want the light at all. They stay away from the light. Go to Matthew chapter 7 if you would. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." You might want to underline that word doeth in verse 21. It's not what you say out of your mouth, it's what you do. Whether you're unsaved or you're saved, you'll be brought into account because of that. Go to Luke, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. Says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried and in hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now, what makes us Bible believers is we have a literal interpretation of the Word of God. This is not a parable. Proper names are not used in parable, and you see Lazarus used. This is an actual rich man, and Lazarus had died. There's an actual real hell. There's an actual literal heaven. Those are the only two places mentioned in the Bible that a person's soul goes to after death. So God tells us that we need to be born again in John chapter 3. That is, we've had our fleshy birth, which we celebrate every year, call it a birthday. But then you need to have a new birth, a spiritual birth, to become a spiritual person, to belong to God. And you're born into the family of God. And if you are, then everything will become new. Go to Revelation 20 again now. Revelation 20 and in verse 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works." I said there were seven judgments. You might want to write them down in the flap of your Bible or something to kind of keep track of them. If you would make an acrostic, that is, listing it down as the first letter, I want you to spell out big wax. At the very top, put B. Underneath that, I. After that, G. After that, W. After that, A. After that, cross, or C. And after that, S. Big wax. Now you can fill in the word. For B, it's believer. There's going to be a judgment for believers, those that are born again. The I stands for Israel. There's going to be a judgment for the nation of Israel. The G stands for Gentiles. Write that in. There's going to be a judgment for the wicked dead. That's what the W stands for. Then there's going to be a judgment of angels. Then there was the judgment of the cross. And finally, there is self-judgment. The judgment that you will apply to yourself as you hear the truth, even today. There are really only two major judgments that we are concerned with at this time in life. Because there's two phases of his coming. Jesus is coming again. Literally. Most of the things in the Bible are to be taken literally. Until you get into Revelation and during the tribulation period, and it talks about dragons and seven heads and all of that. Yes, those things are figurative. Those things are symbolic. They mean something literally. But they are symbolic. So God has told us a story, literally. You don't have the authority to say, "Oh, I didn't mean this really. It meant something else." What do you think you are, changing God's word? If God said it, so be it. That's truth. There's a plague upon those that change God's word. That's another sermon completely. But anyway, there's two major judgments that we need to be concerned about right now. First of all, is the one, if you are saved, if you are born again, you have a day where you repented of your sin because you knew you were a sinner, and if you died that second, you'd be in hell. And you ask Christ to be the only way into heaven. You put your trust in Christ. You're a believer. You believe the Bible and what it said. That judgment now, with us believers, we don't get judged on whether we're going to heaven or hell. That's already been done on the cross. Jesus said in his last words, "It is finished." Everything that was necessary to be done to get someone to heaven was done by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Yes, literal blood. Jesus is God in flesh. That's what Christmas is about. That's what the virgin birth is about. A normal man could not die for my sins. It had to be God in flesh that died for my sins so I could be forgiven. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Keeping your place in Revelation again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." So it's work to pay attention, understand, and that's what I'm trying to help you with this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10. As Paul is speaking to the believers at Corinth, this is his second epistle to them. It says in verse 10, "For we, believers, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done." You might want to underline "done." I'm big on "do." Why? God's big on "do." Doing, your actions, your life. So, done is, of course, a past participle of do. And so he says we're going to be judged on the things that are done in his body according to that he hath done. You might want to underline that again. God's big on doing. Whether it be good or bad. So this is the judgment if you're a Christian this morning, if you're truly born again, not a compromiser, somebody that believes the Bible. You will, when you die, believer, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a believer's judgment. And what you'll be judged on is what you have done for God since you got saved, and what you haven't done for God since you were saved. Not only the sins of commission, but the sins of omission. There's things we should be doing within our life. I'm afraid we get caught up in the world pretty easy, and our time evaporates, and our energy evaporates. What are we doing? Because that's what you're going to give an account for. Now we go to the unsaved, those that have not been born again. That's where our text is. Revelation chapter 20. These are the wicked dead. That is what the context is. So whatever God says will be. Don't ever doubt God. There's hundreds of prophecies in the Bible. And one by one, they've been fulfilled. There's others to be fulfilled. Even in Jesus' life, 300 prophecies in the Old Testament, they all came true in Jesus' life, death on the cross. And there's many. So whatever God says, God will fulfill those things in his time, not your time. Time catches up on all of that stuff. So there will be a day when everybody that has ever lived that did not get saved, they're going to stand before God. Right here that we're studying this morning. And it says, doesn't, does it not, in verse 11. It was, I saw a great white throne. Picture that in your mind, because one day the wicked will stand before God. There's going to come a day when the knee bows. Everyone will bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it today willingly and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and be born again. Or you can disbelieve the Bible, say the preacher, he doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't know anything. Anything else you want to say? Been plenty of things said about me over the 45 years I've been preaching. But the truth is that one day their knee will bow right here. They're going to be brought up to account. Atheists and others don't want to believe in God, not because there is no God or that there is proof of a God. They don't like the idea of being brought into account of their life. So they make up fantasy things about big bangs and evolution and everything else that goes on. No science to that. It's all a theory. All of that is to get away from this judgment. It's a great judgment. When God says great, he means great. They've rejected salvation. They've rejected the grace of God, the love that God poured out upon them, gave his own son for them. They rejected the Savior with impudent face and attitude. They've committed the greatest sin of all. You think murder is the greatest sin? No. Murdering your own soul is the greatest sin. The unforgivable sin. The unpardonable sin. Just reject Jesus Christ and not be born again, and you have committed that sin. The great sinner has to stand before the great throne of God. Keep your place here. Go to John chapter 8, please. Yes, John chapter 8. I want you to understand as I preach, even though there's much gravity to the preaching, I'm not angry at anyone. I'm not against you, I'm for you, I'm your friend. I'm exposing you to the light. Remember, the Bible said that though men shy away from the light, they love darkness rather than light. And I'm exposing light into your life. Because even though I don't know your uttermost secrets within your life, God does. You don't hide a thing from him. John chapter 8 and in verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, God, ye shall die in your sins. I'm so glad that back in 1968 I realized that I was a sinner on the way to hell. And that I opened my heart and my life and asked Christ to be my Savior. And he gave me eternal life. Completely different perspective of life. A completely different life started this old sinner drunk. That God worked year after year, month after month, as the Word of God now was exposed to the light, and then the calling of God to preach His Word. All through those years, that I didn't have to die in my sins, I've been saved from my sins. They are gone. God has separated them as far as the east is from the west. God has forgotten my sins. What a wonderful God what we have. All you need to do is truly, sincerely receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. So Jesus said right there, if you don't believe that I am God, you will die in your sins. Go to chapter 3, John chapter 3 and in verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. You can outline in your Bible these verses, whatever you want to do as you study this morning. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That kind of puts everything in a nutshell, doesn't it? In one verse. You're either saved from the wrath of God, hell and the lake of fire, or you are saved. And then you can go to heaven. Not because of how good you are. Not according to any doings that you have done. Because you fail. All of us fail because we're human. We're sinners, no matter what. We have to trust in the one that never sinned, the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, folks. Religion tries to confuse you, kind of blend everything into a gray, you know. I'm here to make it black and white to you. Why? Because the Bible makes it black and white. So you can forget the foolish philosophies of men and you can believe God or not. It's your eternity. Go back to our text now in Revelation 20. What kind of a judgment is this in verse 11? It's a great white throne. And we see that it's a holy throne, because white pictures purity. White is always pictured purity. Even at weddings, normally the bride has a white gown and so forth. That all came from the Bible, showing that Jesus is still a virgin, so forth. All of that. I'm afraid too many put on pretenses rather than the truth. But this throne is going to be white. It's purity. It's holy. It beats the laws of the land of what God said, because there's no foolishness. There's no wiggle room here with God. You can pay off the judges, and they're corrupt today throughout the land. But you will not pay off this judge. He knows you. Matter of fact, he's kept record of you. It's in the books. Your life. Go to Titus chapter 2, please. Keep your place and go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. If For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What brings salvation? The grace of God. Not something you did. Not a works, lest any man should boast. Tells us in Ephesians 2:8. 8 and 9. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's to be your lifestyle after you're saved by grace. Christians that live holy. My, you're going to look hard before you find some Christians that are looking living holy within their lives. But that's what the Bible says we are to do. We get your salvation by grace, not works. Most churches teach a salvation by works, what you do. Oh, you got to be catechized and baptizes a baby, and on and on. They just make it up as they go along. There's no such thing in the Bible. What I've already preached to you is in the Bible. I proved it to you by having you look at what God said. I don't want you to take my word about it. You want to argue about something, you better argue with God. Because that's what we're talking about this morning. We're seeing what he said is going to be in the future for everyone that is lost. And then it says back in our text there in verse 11 that it's a throne. It's not only great and it's not only white, it's throned. Jesus Christ is sitting on that throne. The Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're three, but they're one. Everybody got water? Got water coming out your tap or anything? That's liquid, isn't it? If you heat that up and boil that water, you get steam. It's still water, right? But it appears it's steam. If you throw it in the freezer, it becomes ice. But it's still water. One God, shown in three different ways. The Trinity. They're all going to be there. Jesus is the judge. Jesus is on the throne. I want you to see him this morning. It's difficult for me and you to see what Jesus really looked like, seeing he lived so long ago. You will see him when you die. You won't. There's no place to go. You can't hide from God. You'll be open and naked before him, is what the Bible says in Hebrews. It's a throne judgment. Nobody can make you kneel to get saved. God doesn't capture you and take you to heaven like that. No. He gives the offer of salvation. Here's a free gift, eternal life. Trust me to get to heaven, and your sins will be forgiven, and you're going to have a new life in Christ. Now, that's just as simple and open, a little baby can understand that. Youngsters can understand that. You don't need a college education to be able to understand everything. You'll never understand God. You've got to take him by faith. You got to take the truth by faith. Which truth? Who's got the truth? It's in this book. This book is true. Over 32,000 verses. And everyone pure. Everyone's true. Yeah, I've studied the manuscripts and all the rest of the arguments. You come down to the King James Version for the Bible in English. Oh, we got a new version of the Bible. I can show you mistake and contradiction everywhere in these new Bibles. I don't care if it's NIV, CEV, anything else you can bring up, ASV. Doesn't make any difference. Stick with the truth. God makes it simple to get to heaven. Religion tries to make it hard. It's not hard. You don't have to be at this judgment. But if you're lost, you will be here. Then it says at this judgment, there are volumes of books. Did you see this? Verse 12. They stood before God, and the books were opened. There's four different books of your life that's going to be unveiled at that time. God said there would be. John 12:48 tells you that. Psalm 119:89, forever thy word is settled in heaven. There's books. Who's keeping the books? God's keeping the books. You can't buy him off. He doesn't make any mistakes. We've got lots of businesses, and there was always somebody keeping the books. A lot of ways to change those books. No change within God himself. Look at the first book you're going to face. Matthew chapter 12, please. I say there's four books that the ungodly, wicked, dead that hate Jesus Christ, hate God, are going to stand before him and be judged out of these books. Matthew chapter 12. Hope you've memorized the books of the Bible within your Christian life. If you're saved, know what to turn to. Matthew 12, verse 36. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." That's what we're looking at. Verse 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So Jesus Christ himself says one of those four books is going to be idle words. You've spoken a lot of words in your life. I don't even want to think about the words that I used before I became a Christian. I'm glad that I got saved and those words are forgotten and forgiven by God. I don't have to have that shame and guilt any longer. That's what he does when he saves somebody. He gives them a new life in Christ. They're free from sin. They're not in bondage anymore. What idle your words have you used this week? You gossiped about somebody? You talked bad about somebody? Have you exaggerated? Have you said falsely things about somebody just because you don't like them or whatever? Relatives? Every word you're going to give an account for if you're unsaved. Standing at this judgment, that's one of the four books. You'll be the worse for the words that you use. Watch out how your home life is. Mom and Dad, watch out the words you say. Your kids are listening too, as well as God. You're to be a good example to them. You're supposed to have a Christ-like home. Free with your words and your tempers. Gonna give a comment. There's a second book. Go to Romans chapter 2, please. Unlike false religions, I do not just make up things as I go along. I have the Word of God to go by. If God said it, that settles it. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. It says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. There's going to be a book of secret thoughts. That's one thing about thoughts. You can't read the person's mind. You can hear the words that come out of their mind, out of their mouth, but you don't know what's going on up here. God does. Even your secret thoughts, you'll give an account for that one day if you're lost. You see, I'm not preaching on the judgment seat of Christ for believers this morning. I'm preaching about people that are unsaved, hate God, church, preachers. They hate the light. That's what I'm preaching about, the great white throne judgment at the very end of the Bible before a new heavens and new earth. Secret thoughts, you'll give an account for it. Talking to husbands, talking to wives, talking to young people. What are you thinking right now while I'm preaching? You'll give an account of that. God says you will. Here's another book. The fourth book is right in our text. Revelation chapter 20. Just go back there. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. Because he said, the books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Ha, here's the book of works. What you actually did. Some lost people are murderers. Some lost people are thieves. Everybody got different sin that they did. The works that they did. There will be a day of accountability for those that are lost, the great white throne judgment, the day of judgment. It says there in verse 12, according to their works, the things that they did, deeds. There's the the four books that they'll be judged by. And you know, it makes all the difference in the world about the next book it talks about. Because it says that whoever was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name's in that one. My name's in that one. It hasn't been blotted out. I have a whole message on that. You get the idea that when you got saved, your name was put in the Book of Life. That's not in the Bible. I got a whole message to prove that. But praise God, my name's there. Not because of who I am or what I know or what I've done or anything else. It's because of the grace of God. Remember, salvation comes by grace and grace alone. I'm a pure grace preacher. The Book of Life, verse 15. And my, oh my, what happens next? Verse 13, I'm ready to close now. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. People that died by drowning in the deep, it says, the sea gave them up. Death and hell delivered up. You understand hell and the lake of fire, they're two different things. When a person dies unsaved in this life, they're cast into hell. That's like somebody being doing a crime and they're taken to the jail. They're there in that jail until they go to the judge. And then the judge gives the judgment and he sends them to prison. Hell is the jail. And this day, now we're talking about the lake of fire. It says death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Permanent. All of the things about the lake of fire I could preach on, but that's not... All of the horrible torment and everything that goes on. And by the way, rightly deserved. The worst thing about the lake of fire is it's eternal. When you're put in prison, boy, at least you got a day that you're going to get out of prison. Boy, you look forward to that day. They don't even have that hope in the lake of fire. They never get out. It says there in verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. In verse 15, it says they were cast into the lake of fire. How many times does God have to say it before you believe it? Other places in the Bible and the Gospels I can show you, but for lack of time, I'm really trying. There's so much truth here. It's hard to get it into anything reasonable time. You can see that the angel Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? The angels will gather up the tares, the pretenders, and they will cast them into the oven, it says in the Gospels. How were they cast here? By God's servants, the angels. The billions of people that rejected Jesus Christ, the angels, casting them into the lake of fire. The justice of God. They've rejected the love of God. No reason to do that. But because of their proud heart, their stiff neck, they're bullheaded. They're going to go their own way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Blah, blah, blah. You'll give an account. Not getting away with anything. It's coming. Your blood is off my hands. I've told you the truth. I held back nothing. You may not have liked it, but that's the way truth is. God's truth never changes. It's forever. You know why this is so important? To you believers, don't miss this. Your relatives whom you love, your friends, these that are unsaved, this is going to happen to them unless they're warned. I'm your friend, that's why I warned you. Jesus wants to be your friend as well as your Savior. He warned us. He gave us a book that tells us the truth unashamedly, straight out. Can't point your finger in God's face and say it's His fault you're there. That would be you. Care about some lost souls. Tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. Start living a Christian life. Go to Sunday school and church and prayer meeting. Read your Bible at home. Stop putting on an act and be real. Who you really are is the way you live. You can talk all you want. You got great platitudes. But your life says it's a lie. This morning you're here and you're without Jesus Christ. Maybe you've had a religious experience. Maybe you've been told that you by others that you're a Christian and so forth, mother, father, whatever. But there's never been a day in your life where you truly repented, became humble before God, and turned from your sin and started a brand new life in Christ. I invite you to come to Christ this morning. This may be the last time in your life that you ever hear this kind of a message. Right now, God's working in your heart one way or another. You need to act on what God's telling you to do. Don't care about what other people think if you come forward and receive Christ. You better think about what God thinks and what God knows. He's the one you're going to give an answer to, not the other. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless everything that has been said this morning. Lord, your witness, I have told no lies. I've told only the truth. I have exposed every one of us to the truth of Christ. Help us not to leave this auditorium as a fool. Help us to leave as a victorious Christian. Do your great work, as always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, please. Turn to number 202. Let's all stand together